Hello and welcome to the So What podcast, which I'm very happy to announce just won gold in the politics and opinion category of the inaugural South African Podcast Awards, which happened in October of 2024. In these conversations, political economic analyst JP Landman discusses the issues uppermost in the minds of South Africans. You can find a written version of this content on JP's website, jplandman.co.za. I am Ruda Landman, and I am your host. This discussion accompanies the newsletter dated 21 November 2024 with the title Investment, Pulling It All Together. It's information laden, so I would recommend that you look at the written version as well to digest the numbers. The website again, it's jplandman.co.za. JP, so investment in South Africa, the overall picture?
The overall picture is that in 2023, we invested just over R1 trillion. That is the public sector and the private sector combined. And one must see that R1 trillion investment in the context of an economy which is about R7 trillion big. So one looks at an investment to GDP ratio of 15%. That is the standard measurement worldwide.
And how does that compare internationally?
It probably compares with a range of countries, but if we compare it to what we would like to do in South Africa, then we certainly need more. The now defunct National Development Plan used to talk about a 25% ratio, 10% by the public sector and 15% by the private sector. Now at 15%, we are not close to that number. And that number is relevant, Ruda, because several ministers in the Government of National Unity, DA ministers as well as ANC ministers, have spoken about converting or transforming South Africa into one big construction site. So what we want to do in this note is to see how that is going. And 15% is not enough to get us to one big construction site. That number of 15 will have to increase.
You say two sectors, public and private.
Yes.
What's the ratio between those two?
Traditionally, the public sector contributed about a third of investment in the country and the private sector two-thirds. In the last couple of years, that ratio has changed. The public sector ratio went down. In 2023, it came to about 28%, and private sector investment came to 72%. So there's been a tilt away from two-thirds, one-third, to about 72-28.
And You believe that the private sector investment is really important. What do you base that on?
I base it on a new report that was published by Professor Philippe Berger, who's the Dean of Economics at Free State University and a very, very competent macroeconomist. And he did a lot of research recently for UN Wider, which was published not long ago. And he found that for every 1% increase in the ratio of private sector investment to GDP, for every 1%, economic growth increases by 0.67% per annum. Now, that's an enormous dividend. To spend 1% more and you get 0.67% more in economic growth, that's really an enormous dividend. In contrast, he found that public sector spending, particularly by SOEs, is almost statistically insignificant. In other words, you can increase public sector to investment to GDP ratio, but you won't get a statistically significant dividend in terms of growth. Now, this sounds very
bleak
and so on, but it ties up with common sense. If you think Eskom building Medupi or building Kusile, how long that took, what the overspending was, how much money in the end it cost, and what is the return that you get, and you compare that with a private company building a solar farm, for example, what it cost, the speed of finishing the project, and what you get back, then it makes perfect sense. We know that the private sector in general is more disciplined and more efficient in execution than the public sector. Not always, but in general. So in that sense, Philippe Berger's numbers are not a surprise.
With that said, let's start with public sector investment. We are all aware of budget austerity in these times. What does that mean for investment from the public sector?
Well, the interesting thing here is the truism is that if you have budget austerity or your budgets are cut, the first item to be cut is capital expenditure. The interesting thing is that is not happening at the moment. The 2024 budget is giving us a three-year projection of capital expenditure, public sector infrastructure spending, and over the 3 years it comes to 943 billion rand. That is about 29% higher than the three-year cycle that we've just got behind us. So if you compare 3 years with 3 years, what you see is a 29% increase. That's a huge increase. It beats inflation by a comfortable number, and it tells you what the political priorities are. So that old truism that when there's austerity, you cut capital expenditure is certainly not holding. And I think that's a very encouraging sign.
And if you say public sector, what does that mean, really? Who gets to spend this money?
Yeah, indeed. It's a massive sector. First of all, it's the around about 36 national departments. Between them, they have about 116 agencies. Think, for example, SANRAL that builds roads. That is one agency. Think the Independent Electoral Commission when they need to install new computer equipment or whatever. That's an agency of government, an agency of a national department, and they will spend money. Then the second category is you've got the nine provinces. A third category is you've got about 257, 258 local authorities. They spend money. And then lastly, you've got PPPs, where a government agency is doing a particular project, but they're doing it in partnership with a private company. So it's really everything that you can think of in the bigger public sector of South Africa.
Where do SOEs fit in?
SOEs are also part of that. In fact, SOEs are the biggest single player. They spend about 40% of the 943 billion. Then they followed by municipalities with about 23%. Then provinces in the third place with 20%. Then only the government departments and their agencies at 16%. And then PPPs with about 2%. So the biggest player is the SOEs.
You say that, of course, these numbers tell us nothing about quality of spending with corruption, poor planning, etc. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I first want to focus on the public-private partnerships. Only 2% of this investment, so do they really matter?
Yes, they do matter because they give you a much better quality outcome. As we put it in the note, they punch above their weight when it comes to quality. And again, we know that intuitively, you can just compare driving on a toll road to driving on a provincial road, and you see the difference. Toll roads are normally PPPs, and they're much better maintained, much better conditioned than what provincial roads are. So there is definitely a qualitative difference. PPPs have not taken off over in South Africa over the last decade or two, except for national roads. In national roads, been quite successful in building a large number of PPP projects, but not wider than that. It looks if that is changing now. Why? Because there are a couple of interesting PPPs going on. There's one going on to revamp and rebuild one military hospital in Tshwane. It's a big project. There are also proposals out at the moment from the Western Cape government to redo the Tigerberg Hospital down in the Western Cape, also on a PPP basis. And then the third example are six border posts between South Africa and its neighbors here in the subcontinent, which are being revamped and rebuilt with private sector money. So those are examples of PPP. So it looks as if there's a bigger movement in that direction. A very interesting little PPP, it's a small one, it's only about 120 million rand, was conducted between the Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency and the British Aspinall Foundation, which is a charity foundation, to redevelop the Loskop Dam Nature Reserve. Now, as I say, it's a small amount. It's only about 120 million, but it'll run over 25 years, and the infrastructure will be upgraded, like roads, fences, staff accommodation, and field ranger facilities. A particular emphasis of this PPP is that they would like to include public and private land inside an enlarged Los Kopdam Nature Reserve. Their ambition is to make it bigger than the Polansberg Reserve. So it's a unique form of a PPP.
So one thing that will lift the quality of investment spending is working with the private sector in the shape of PPPs.
Yes.
What else has government done? What other kind of guardrails have they put in place?
Another one which was put in place quite a while ago in 2016 already is the BFI, the Budget Facility for Infrastructure. And what it basically is public sector institutions that we spoke about earlier can apply, they can tender to have projects that they want to do, to have those projects financed through the budget. But then they've got to meet certain criteria for preparation, for technical specifications, and also for execution.
Where does this live? In Treasury?
It lives in Treasury, absolutely. Now, in the 8 years since 2016, we've now had this year the seventh bid window. One was missed in 2020 with COVID, I think. What happened in October this year, last month, the Minister of Finance announced that instead of having one bid window a year, once only, we will now have bid windows on a continuous basis. So that should ensure a bigger supply of projects that can be evaluated and, if approved, will give you a bigger pipeline. So the budget facility for infrastructure, the BFI, do two things. First of all, they've got, as I've said, stringent technical requirements for the project. You cannot just jump in and say, I want money for a school or I want money for a hospital. You've got to show that you're capable of planning the project properly, budgeting it, and so on. But the second thing it does is to mobilize private sector money to finance that project. Now, if you look at the numbers for 2024, what you see is that 66.9 billion rands worth of projects have been approved, and 52% of that money comes from the private sector, 38% comes from the budget, from the state, from the taxpayer, and another 10% from third parties. So there's a distinct tilt to involving private sector funds and thereby enlarging the pool of money that's available. So this 60.9 billion rand will be spent on 14 projects. And if I give you an idea of what they are, it's in social housing projects, about 14,000 housing units, 5 water and sanitation projects all over the country, 6 revamped border posts that I've already referred to, and student housing projects on 4 university campuses involving some 10,000 units. So you're talking fairly substantial projects.
So are these also PPPs? Do they overlap?
Yes, there is an overlap. There can very well be an overlap. You may find that what starts off as a BFI project could end up being a PPP, but they're not necessarily the same. The governance arrangements normally differ. So you may find that a particular public sector still runs the project, although they have to do it with their private partners. But yes, there can be an overlap.
Where do the Infrastructure Fund and Infrastructure South Africa fit in?
The Infrastructure Fund is a new innovation that came in 2018 when President Ramaphosa became president. It was his baby. He was in office for about 3 months when he said that he wanted to establish an infrastructure fund. The intention was to blend public and private money. Take some money from the taxpayers, take some money from the private market. You blend it. That brings the cost of finance down. But at the same time, it enlarges the pool of finance. He was particularly keen on it in 2018. It took two years to operationalize it. Things take time in the public sector. And it became operational in 2020. Currently, there are 31 projects under preparation by the Infrastructure Fund and Infrastructure SA, and it includes schools in the Northern and Eastern Cape, as well as hospitals in Mpumalanga and the Free State. Now, let me just say, that's the Infrastructure Fund. Where does Infrastructure SA fit in? After a year or two, it became clear that the biggest stumbling block in government infrastructure spending is the quality of preparation and the quality of oversight of the project. The skill simply does not, or certainly did not exist in the public sector. So Infrastructure South Africa was created as an agency to help that. They've got a team of professional people. In the budget this year, 600 million rand was allocated for technical skills inside Infrastructure SA, and they can then help to plan projects, to spec them properly, to get them running, and to look after the implementation of those projects. So the fund is about money, Infrastructure South Africa is about skills, and the two work together.
Will it please also help water and sanitation?
Yes, I think indeed it will. Included in the numbers that we talked about, the 943 billion, and included in the BFI, are public projects on water. But let's just dig a little bit deeper into it, because it is such a big deal. Overall, there are 11 projects countrywide across 7 provinces, which total about almost 140 billion rand. For water. Now, I'll give you just the big ones. The biggest single project is 42 billion rand for the Lesotho Highlands Phase 2 to deliver water to Gauteng and Northwest. The completion date for that is 2028. This project has been considerably delayed. There were allegations of corruption and so on, but it looks as if it's now firmly on track. A second set of projects coming to about 46 billion rand is 3 projects in KwaZulu-Natal for bulk water supply in that province. It will help the South Coast in particular. Water is a problem in the South Coast, and these 3 projects should help with that. The completion date there is between 2027 to 2032. And a third one, which is also an interesting project, because this moves towards a PPP, is the Olifants River project in Mpumalanga, which is a joint effort between the mining company Glencore, the platinum mining company Amplats, and government. And it will involve 400 kilometers of pipelines and provide 250 million liters of water per day. It's equal to about 1/3 of the total consumption of Cape Town. Now, you can see that it's a joint effort between 2 mining companies and government, and they're busy negotiating at the moment with 10 local and international banks to finance that. Again, that movement of private capital into a public project. Their completion date is expected to be 2030. So, there's a strong movement around water to improve bulk water supply. I think the country can take comfort from that.
But it still has to come from the big pipe to the little pipe in my bathroom. What happens with the final mile, or the last mile? How do they put it?
Yeah, you're quite right. There's many a slip twixt the reservoir and the tap. The bulk water supply we've spoken about, the problem is municipalities and distribution systems. And we know that that is in quite a bad shape. So what has happened is that the government has put up a water office in the Development Bank. It is modeled on the IPP office, the Independent Power Producers Office, that did quite good work around renewable energy, basically copying that copy and paste. And the idea with the water office is that they must help municipalities, which, as we've seen earlier, is quite a big spender. They've got to help municipalities to fix their water affairs. Now, the head of the water office is Mr. Johan Libbe, and he had a very, very interesting interview. He said, the water office has begun to mobilize private sector financing for water projects in Etiquini, Mangahung, Buffalo City, Nelson Mandela Bay, and Tshwane, for the replacement of leaking municipal water systems, which are resulting in high levels of non-revenue water. We're all aware of the problem of non-revenue water, and for that you've got to fix leaks. And to fix the leaks, you need money. So that's where the water office comes in. But Johan Libbe warns, he says, it takes time. It is not something that happens overnight. On the larger projects, it takes 12 to 18 months to properly structure the projects. You don't want to rush through a project and then put it out to the market, and then the private sector shoots it full of holes. So it takes time, but the institutional infrastructure is there. the people are there, it should lead to an improvement over time, particularly in the big metros.
What difference will it make to involve the private sector?
Well, the private sector, by definition, brings discipline. There's money that is advanced. That money must, first of all...
And it's their money. It's not their tax money.
It's not amorphous tax money. That money must earn a return and it must be repaid. So you immediately have financial discipline, which we clearly don't have in a lot of our municipalities. And this notion of financial discipline was given a huge boost last week. Got very little notice in the media. But what happened was that Treasury has agreed to withhold payments to municipalities of their equitable share. Equitable share is simply the money which is allocated from the national budget to help municipalities. They will hold back those equitable share payments from municipalities who have debt with water boards. Now, that's a very, very encouraging development. Imagine if we can do the same thing with electricity. Now, needless to say, the municipalities affected will be up in arms and it will ruffle their feathers. But it is clearly the right thing to do. And as I've said, if one can repeat that arrangement with electricity, it'll lead to a big improvement. The Department of Water and Sanitation must get the credit here. They lobbied for this change. They've been lobbying for the last year, and Treasury has now agreed. So it's a step forward.
So we've now talked about projects initiated by the public sector, even if it's not fully paid for by them. What about the private sector? What about private sector investment?
I've said it so many times, I sound like a broken record or a stuck CD or whatever the
modern equivalent
will be. But mining 100 years ago was the investment frontier. That is what made South Africa modern. Now it is energy. And if one looks at the numbers, they are really quite astonishing. If we can just take a overview of energy generation, up to date, we've got 8,000 megawatts of new capacity, most of it renewable capacity, which have been contracted to sell to the grid, and that brought an investment of 270 billion. It's a huge amount of money. That's the past. That's behind us. What is going on right now as we talk is a bid window. Bid windows are something which is driven by the government. It carries a government guarantee, and you work through official processes. So it's basically a tender that government puts out. Bid window 7 for 5,000 megawatts, a bid window for 650 megawatts of batteries, and then a bid window for 2,000 megawatt of gas, presumably in Richards Bay. The estimated investment here is 180 billion rand plus, according to the budget review. But what has happened since 2022, since President Ramaphosa deregulated the electricity market, is that there's been a huge swing from public procurement to private procurement. Private procurement simply meaning private companies doing their own thing, putting up a solar farm, putting up a wind farm, entering into contracts to buy power from people who have a solar farm or buy power from people who have too much power. That deregulation of the industry really made a huge difference. And what we currently have on the table, or should I say in the pipeline, is 22,500 megawatts of projects with an estimated investment value of 390 billion rand. We're talking huge amounts of money here. And this will carry on. I mean, essentially, we're building a new electricity system in South Africa. You know, we mustn't forget that Eskom has already determined way back that of the 14 coal-fired power stations, 8 will close down by 2034, 2036.
And is that still true in spite of political opposition?
Yes. Some units in some power stations were given permission by the government to close down later, so they will close down later, but it's still within the 2034 timeframe. So just think about it. You've got 14 power stations serving the country now without load shedding. You close 8 of them down. You've got to replace that capacity. It's going to be a huge investment. And that is just all on the generation side. If you move to transmission, a very similarly bullish picture emerges. What do we know? We know that transmission is a problem for generation. We know that it's a choke point. So what is needed to fix generation? Well, depending on what time frame you talk about, it's between 200 billion and 390 billion, depending whether you talk 5 years or 10 years. So the National Transmission Company, which has now been taken out of Eskom and is a self-standing company, has got 112 billion rand earmarked over the next 5 years, specifically to build new infrastructure, transmission infrastructure. Now, to unlock more funds, same story again.
So that's from the budget?
Well, it's basically from the Eskom balance sheet. It's from the Eskom, or in this case, the transmission company balance sheet, with probably some help from the budget. To unlock further funds, government has authorized the Independent Power Producers Office, the one that drove the renewal program, to run a pilot program to procure the first private independent transmission project. So it's completely new terrain for us in South Africa. You've got a transmission line. It serves a number of producers and consumers, but it's built by not by the state monopoly. It's built by a private entity.
Sounds a bit like a toll road.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. It's a good comparison. Now, a new credit guarantee vehicle, which was developed with the help of the World Bank, will support this pilot project. And what it basically means is that the private sector that comes in to provide the money will enjoy some guarantee on their funds that they advance, and the state will not be on for 100% guarantee, which is still the case with the older generation projects, and one wants to move away from that. You want to move away from state guarantees where people must assess the risk and take it and collect the profits, but also live with the losses. Nevertheless, this transmission pilot project provides for a credit guarantee, which balances between the private companies and the government, and that should help to generate many more funds, much more funds, for building transmission projects. If we just look at where we are, I've already said that the National Transmission Company is looking at 112 billion rands worth of projects over the next 10 years. Currently, they have 31 projects in construction now, which will release about 16,000 megawatts of connection capacity. And then by 2034, 6 years later, they want to do another 30 projects to connect 40,000. So you're looking at 56,000 megawatts of transmission capacity over the next 10 years. It's a significant investment. It is a significant improvement that will come to the transmission grid.
I don't know if this works, but how does that compare with the whole system at the moment?
No, it's substantial. We haven't invested a lot of money in transmission in the last 10 years and even longer. In fact, I think, if I remember correctly, last year, less than 100 kilometers of transmission lines were built. The numbers that we're talking about here, you're talking about 1,200 to 1,400 kilometers of transmission lines per annum. So it's a huge step up in terms of building new capacity.
You've been saying green is the new gold, so you still see that happening?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if we try and pull all these numbers together, because they're all over the show, basically we need 1.5 trillion rand over the next, the official time frame is 5 years, but let's make it 5 to 7 years, 1.5 trillion to execute all these projects and help with the energy transition. And then in the period after that, the next decade, we will need 3 trillion rand. And these are enormous amounts of money, if you think of the size of our economy. Where will that money come from? Well, we've discussed that before. It'll be a combination of public money, private money, philanthropic money, aid assistance from the developed world, and so on. But I don't. People that I speak to generally do not see money as the big problem. The much bigger problem is having bankable projects that can be executed, that are credible, on which you can put money and take a wager. That is where the bigger problem lies. The problem doesn't lie with money.
And that's human capital.
As human capital, it's skills. That's why things like the budget facility are important, things like Infrastructure South Africa. We've got to build up the skills base that can again underpin a huge infrastructure drive.
If we get to so what in the first place, there has to be more investment, it sounds like.
If we want to turn the country into a construction site, yes. Turning the country into a construction site is the political ambition. The current 15% of GDP being spent on investment is not enough. We've got to get that number up. How do you get the number up? You can only get it really up by involving more capital from the private sector. And here I think the change in government attitude that we've seen since about 2018, 2019 is a very important change. Government used to work with the concept of prescribed assets, not government so much, but the ANC. There's been a distinct move away from that. The emphasis now is on involving private money, linking it up with public money, and thereby enlarging the pool of funds. That is happening, and I would expect that trend to continue over the next couple of years. The important thing is, as I've said, a pipeline of projects. That's what it's all about. And that's why the work of the budget facility and the work of Infrastructure SA are important. They're building up more and more projects. I'm quite sure not enough. One year complaints from the financial sector that there are not enough of these projects, but there's certainly more than what there was. And I think that's the trend to watch.
And the other trend that you highlight in your So What is the diminishing role of SOEs in the context of this shifting political atmosphere.
Yes, absolutely. Look, the SOEs, it's a simple reality of state capture that they are now in a bad shape. Eskom basically can't undertake any investment projects. Neither can Transnet. Transnet will probably have to get some support from the fiscus, like Eskom is getting. So they're not going to have huge infrastructure projects. And that's why that number has come down from 2/3, 1/3 to 72%, 28%. I think that's a reality. And then the question is, so who will take their place? And the answer is the place will be taken by joint public and private partnerships and financing.
And how would you summarize that, the so what about the practicalities of making it happen?
Well, as I've said, it's all about a credible pipeline, which we see is being built, and the pipeline will get bigger and bigger as we go on. And what that will do, quite apart from money, is it should help with discipline, and it should help with better management, as we've seen with toll roads. When money flows and there's somebody responsible for collecting it, but also responsible for performance, there's accountability. And that, I think, will help to change the public infrastructure in South Africa. And, of course, the more you change the public, the more confidence there's in the private sector. The more confidence there's in the private sector, the more they're willing to put in another machine or put up another factory or undertake some kind of an expansion somewhere. These things feed on each other. And, of course, we wouldn't have been here. That's one of those big South African ironies. We wouldn't have been here if we didn't have the pain of load shedding and the pain of water shedding. Load shedding and water shedding is helping to push our body politic towards involving more private sector and involving more money and more expertise from the private sector.
Thank you very much. Fascinating.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the So What podcast. If you enjoy this content, please don't forget to leave a review and a rating, and please consider subscribing so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, tell your friends. Remember, you can find a written version of all JP's content at jplandman.co.za.